how are we able to overcome our troubles? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. And so you saw in the video, these people of different walks of life all had troubles. And so how did they overcome? What did they do? And so you and I may have had troubles in our lifetime. I do not know if you've had any troubles or not, but if you haven't, you might have in the future. And so that's why this came in as one of the verses that you're going to need the rest of your life, because you're going to face something in the future that's going to be troubles, and you're going to ask God, why? Why is this happening to me? And he has the answer. We're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to look at how to overcome whatever it is we face. And so we do that in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I have told you these things. Jesus is in the middle of the evening when he was arrested. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 all take into account that evening when he celebrated the Passover with the disciples there in the upper room, went out into the garden, and then was arrested. So John 16, 33 is a part of that evening that he's going to be arrested later on that afternoon, evening, after he says all this. So he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Talking to them, talking to us. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so we just kind of go through this little by little. So he says, first of all, I've told you these things. Well, what things have you told them and you've told us, Jesus? So we had to go back through John 13, 14, 15, 16 up to this point to find out what he has told them. So I just pulled out a few verses. We're not going to talk all three chapters ahead of that. But in John 14, 1, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And he's getting ready to tell them about going to heaven. And he said, in my Father's house and all that. And he said, I'm the way, John 14, 6, he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so as a result of that, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your, the word trouble there means agitated. If you've ever looked into a washing machine, except for modern washing machines, don't always have an agitator. I found that out one time. And so, but washing machines used to, in the middle of it, had an agitator. And it just kind of worked back and forth to help the clothes get washed and rubbed and scrubbed and all that. Well, that's the word here we're looking at. The word troubled means agitated. And every once in a while, every now and then, you might have been agitated. You reckon? Ever been agitated? Maybe you've seen somebody agitated. Some of your family or some of your friends or something. They get agitated one time. If you've seen somebody ever agitated, what does that look like? What does that seem like? Or what does that sound like? You ever seen anybody agitated? What were they doing? Getting an attitude, I heard. Okay. Huffy. Angry. Losing their cool. Okay. All of those is an agitated person. So if all of that is happening, you're going to say to yourself, that person's agitated. And you're going to wonder what caused it, what brought it on, this kind of thing. And that's why Jesus told them these things. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be agitated. Why not? How can we avoid that, Jesus? You don't know what was said to me or what was done to me or what just happened or what I'm going through. He said, wait a minute. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And so the cure, the healing to being agitated, to being troubled in her heart, is simply trusting God. God, I don't like what I'm going through. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. You know what they just said? You know what they just did? You know what just happened? And God said, yeah, I need you to trust in me. And I need you to trust in Jesus, he said. And our hearts won't be troubled then. It won't be agitated. Well, that's one of the things he had already told them. And later on, he said this, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. So if we love Jesus, if we're trusting him, we're obeying him, then if we love him, we're going to obey his teaching. So whenever Jesus teaches us something in the Bible, if we love him, we're going to obey him. It won't be any option, won't be any hardship, won't be any difficulty. We'll just do what he tells us to do because we love him. He said, my Father will love him, us, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said, I just want to come to your home. I just want to make my home in your home, and I will, if you love me and you obey me, we'll come and live with you. How about that? He said, that's some of the things he was telling them. Also in John 14, 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. How would you like to have your own personal counselor that doesn't charge you a dime? You know, you go to counselors out there somewhere, and they're anywhere, I've heard, from $85 to $125 an hour sometimes. And so Jesus said, I'll send the counselor to you. He'll come to your house. He'll knock on your heart. He'll come on in, and he'll be free. Won't cost you anything. You don't have to sit down for an hour and, okay, I'm done. He doesn't say, sit here for an hour and listen to me. We're done. He said, my Father will send him in my name, and he'll teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will. This counselor will. He'll teach you all things about how to live and how to act and attitude and all that. And not only that, he said, he'll remind you of everything I said to you. It's whatever we've learned about God and Jesus and the Bible. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to remind us of things we've already learned that maybe we've kind of let it slip by and forgot about. Holy Spirit's going to bring it to us. So those are some of the things Jesus was teaching that night. 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. The world can give us peace for a little while, and then all of a sudden it's gone. It's kind of like October 7th of last year. The Middle East was kind of at peace. And then all of a sudden, Hamas, this group, came into Israel and started killing people, just murdering people, babies, women, children, and men, and all that. And all of a sudden, peace was gone. And it's still attacking one side, attacking the other side, and all this sort of thing going on. That's what the world does. It'd be peace for a little while. You've seen it in families sometimes. Family's kind of doing pretty good. These families getting along pretty good. And then one day somebody says something, does something. All right, we're not coming to Christmas. We're not going to be there. Don't worry about us coming. Peace can happen for a little while, and then peace can go away for a little while too. But Jesus says, wait, I don't give peace like the world gives. The world can give it, and the world can take it back. Oh, you don't want to do that? Okay, I'm taking my peace back. We're not going to do this anymore. So he says, don't let your hearts be, there it is again, troubled, agitated. And don't be afraid, because I'm going to give you peace to go through whatever it is you're going through. John 15:5, we're almost through with some of these things he's saying. Get back to the message in a minute. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man, a woman, a person remains in me, abides in me, and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. If we stay attached to Jesus, we will bear much fruit. And then he says, watch this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we want to try to serve Jesus, be obedient to Jesus, do what Jesus wants us to do, and separate our lives from him, we can't do anything. Not to please him, not to serve him. If we try to do it in our own power, in our own ways, in our own thoughts, we can't please him. We have to do it through being attached to the vine. So that was something he was teaching to them. Then one more. He said, this is my command. Love each other. Just love each other. Let people know that you're one of my disciples, my loving people. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. We're seeing protests all over America today. Just violent protests, mean, hateful protests, death to, you know, people and all that sort of thing. And it's focused primarily right now on the Jews. Now, the Jews aren't Christians. They don't believe in Jesus. They haven't accepted Jesus. They don't recognize Jesus as God's son, but they're God's people. And so the world hates these people. Why? Because they serve God, because they love the Lord. And the world can't take that. And so there's just this big thing going on around the world now. And what's the answer? Love them. Just to love them. I mean, the reason they hate, if the world hates you because you're a Christian, what do we need to do? Just love them back. Not hate them because they hate us. But he said, wait, keep in mind that it, the world, hated Jesus first. So it's not us they hate. It's Jesus living in us. And so if anybody ever says, you know, something to you or about you because you're a Christian, or you read your Bible, or you tell them something about Jesus or the Bible or what you learned or whatever, and they just get, like, hate you and get mad at you or something, it's not you, it's Jesus they hate. So always keep that in mind. And so Jesus is just telling the disciples those things that night. So let's back it up. I've told you these things. So all those things right there that we just read through is things he was telling them that night. And so he's saying all that, so that in me, I told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. So there's our word peace. The word peace is what we're looking for tonight to try to understand it and identify it. The word peace means rest. It means we can sit down and we can rest. And so we all need to do that every now and then, sit down and rest, because we're kind of busy people probably, aren't we? And so we just need rest, but not physical rest. It's spiritual, emotional rest that he's talking about here. and physical, of course, too. But nevertheless, he's wanting us to understand that in Jesus, we can have peace, there's rest. We can have quietness. Sometimes homes can get kind of loud, can't they? They can get kind of, boy, running here, running there. We're doing this, doing that. And just, you know, meet each other coming, meet ourselves coming and going sometimes. And so what we need sometimes is just quietness. Just let me just sit down and be quiet. You know, no TV, no radio. Just have a little quiet, a little peace and quiet, we say sometimes. So that's what we find in Jesus, that quietness. Security and safety. We want to feel secure. We want to feel safe. We find it in Jesus. Without trouble. There's that word again, trouble. Without agitation. You know, we just want that agitated heart to leave. We find that in Jesus. No worries. To be able to lay down at night, go to sleep, not toss and turn, not flip and flop, worried about, and you fill in the blank. You ever worried about filling the blank? You know, and you've had a blank there that you filled in, and then laid down at night, tried to go to sleep because you're worried about filling in the blank. And it just, you know, it's on your mind. And you wake up and think about it at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the next morning it's still there. And Jesus says, we don't have worries like that. We're settled down in your heart. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to settle down in our heart so that we have rest and quietness, security and safety, no troubles, no worries, and we're settled down. So, peace, which delivers a satisfying life, is totally dependent on that phrase, in me. If we're not in him, we won't have a satisfied life because it only comes by being totally dependent on Jesus. So then he said, next part of that verse, he said, in this world you're going to have trouble. So he said, so that in me you have peace, because in this world you're going to have trouble. Where trouble means, again, tribulation, persecution, trials, sorrows, affliction, anguish, burdens, pressure. You know these kind of things, don't you? You know about these kind of things. Maybe you don't have affliction or anguish or sorrows, but you know people that do. And so that's what the world gives us. That's what the world dishes out. That's what the world throws at us as Christian, tribulation. Wants to persecute us, put us through trials, put us through sorrows and affliction, put us through anguish, burdens, and pressure, and any other words you can come up like that fits in there. That's what we get in the world. So here's the situation then. Followers of Jesus have a dual existence. What do we mean by that? Well, just kind of put it on the board, just kind of help us to visualize it and understand what we're talking about here. Followers of Jesus have a dual existence. First of all, we're in Christ. We're born again. We're saved. We live in the kingdom of God. Because when we get saved, we come out of the world and into the kingdom of God. And so at that moment that we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And then at the moment after we're saved, if we died right then, we're going to go to heaven. So we're already in the kingdom of God. We're just waiting to get to heaven, to have death come to get us into heaven. But we're already in the kingdom of God. So we're in Christ. So in Christ, we have fellowship with him. So therefore, we have peace. So in Christ, that's where we want to be all the time. But wait a minute. We live in the world. I mean, we travel. We go to Ruston. We go to Monroe. We go to town. We go shopping. We go to the bank. We go to restaurants. We live out in the world. We go here, there, and yon. And we drive down this way, drive down that way. And we just go places and do things, and that's the world we live in. So you see the dual existence. We're in Christ, where we have peace in the kingdom of God, but we're alive. We're people that do things, go places and do things, so we live in the world too. That's where the world comes in with this hostile opposition or this trouble, the troubles that the world dishes out, this tribulation, this persecution, these trials, these sorrows, this affliction, this anguish, these burdens. This pressure does not come from Jesus in the kingdom of God. All of that trouble and that definition there comes from the world. And as us being a dual person living in Christ, living in the world, we face troubles, and yet we have peace. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Only in Jesus can we find it. So followers of Jesus have this dual existence. In the world, in the Christ, fellowship with him gives us peace. In the world, we're going to have opposition. So the world is not an easy place for a Jesus follower to live, is it? It's just not. I mean, carry your Bible to school one day and see if somebody doesn't try to knock it out of your hands. See if somebody doesn't try to tear the pages out of it. Why? Because I hate Jesus, hate God, hate the Bible. Try to carry your Bible to work one day and see if somebody doesn't make fun of you, laugh at you, tell the boss, or tell somebody over here and talk about you and say things about you. Just tote your Bible around town, or, you know, put Jesus sticker on your car and see if somebody doesn't run the key down the side of it, or, you know, things like that. Why? Because we live in a world where there's trouble. We live in a world where it's not easy to follow Jesus, because we are in Christ where we have peace, but we still live in a world where there's trouble. So in Christ we've got peace, but in the world we got troubles. I mean, just go here and go there and you're going to find trouble around somewhere, wherever you go, because it's the world. So the world is an enemy to God and his people. And the enemy to God and his people. The world is the enemy to Christ, because it's the world that put him to death, and yet it's the world he came to save. And so there's opposition, there's a spiritual battle then, spiritual division between in Christ and in the world. And the world hates his people, you and I. The world is opposed to his message of peace, and the world is opposed to the ministry of Jesus. Whatever Jesus is for, the world is against. And so that's just the world we live in. And so as a result of that, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So when we face tribulation, pressure, trials, sorrows, affliction, anguish, burdens, pressure, in other words there, we sometimes ask the question, why? Because we're saying, I'm living in Christ. I'm in the kingdom of God. I've got peace. I'm doing good in my life. But now all of a sudden, I got this stuff going on around me, this tribulation, this persecution, these trials, sorrows, pressure, everything. Why, God? Because that's why. In this world, you're going to have trouble. So he said, it's just plain and simple. We live in a world where there's sin. We live in a sinful world. We live in a sin-filled world. We live in a world where things break, rot, fall apart, rust, tear up, get sick, and die. Just the world we live in. So when there's all of this stuff going on here, the tribulation, persecution, all that, Jesus said it's real simple. We just live in a world where there's trouble. And we look at the news, we look at the newspaper, we listen to the radio, we encounter whatever we encounter, wherever we go sometimes, we see trouble wherever we are. So this dual existence exists. And so Jesus comes along and says, wait a minute, hold on. Before you get discouraged, before you get down, before you get upset, take heart. I will overcome the world. The word take heart means be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Be of good courage. Have confidence in the face of danger. And there's our word from this morning, testing. So he says, in Christ you have peace. You have an existence in the world along with that. You're going to face trouble out here. But don't get discouraged about it. Don't get upset about it. Don't get agitated about it. Don't just worry and lose sleep over it, because that's the way the world is. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Take courage. Have confidence in the face of danger and testing, because you know that in Christ you have peace. So that's how we look at the world. That's how we face the world. That's how we overcome the world, because we are in Christ. And we don't let the world agitate us, because we have peace in Christ. And he said, I've overcome the world. I've had victory over the world. I've conquered the world, he said. I have prevailed over the world. And he said, we can too. Through that relationship with him in Christ that gives us peace, Holy Spirit living in us, we become, as the song said a while ago, overcomers. So here's our dilemma. How are we able to overcome troubles? There's the very title that we had to start with. How do we overcome these troubles? First of all, we receive peace in our relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ has to be real, alive, personal, born again, saved, Holy Spirit living in us. And if we have that relationship with Christ, we're going to have peace. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, what anybody else does. We're going to have peace, because we have peace with God through Christ. But then also we overcome by being confident in our relationship with Christ. We may go out into the world And we may find a lot of trouble, a lot of agitation. But Jesus is coming home with us, giving us the peace, and we're confident he will give it to us because he gave it to us yesterday. And we know he's going to give it to us tomorrow because he's given it also to us today. And so we have to be confident in that relationship with Christ, that we are overcomers, can be overcomers, because he was and we can too. And then be victorious in our relationship with Christ. So peace, confident, and victorious over the world and the troubles of the world. And that's how we have that battle won, through Christ living in us, giving us that peace, confidence, and victory. Now, just a couple of verses to kind of finish it out. In 1 John, John was a disciple of Jesus. And John wrote 5 books in the New Testament. Do you know the 5 books John wrote?
John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, and Revelation.
There they are. The Gospel of John, as we call it. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation 5. And so John wrote 1st John, as we're looking at here now also. And he says, "You, dear children," talking to us as Christians, "you're from God. And you've overcome them," these people out in the world, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That phrase there, "the one who is in you," who is John talking about? Holy Spirit, isn't he? One living in you, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "the Holy Spirit living in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Who is he talking about, the one who is in the world?
Satan.
Do you know who controls the world? Satan does. He has dominion over the world. That's why the world hates Jesus, because it's being run by Satan. Look at all the evil things. Look at all the terrible things that happen. God's not doing it. Satan is. And so when we've got trouble coming to us as Christians, it's Satan, but Jesus says, "hold on, wait, don't get agitated about it. You've overcome all that, because the one who is in you is greater, more powerful than the one, Satan, living in the world. Our power comes from our peace with Christ, and we overcome the world as a result." John 1:5-3. This is love for God, to obey his commands. If I love God, I obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Really, you're going to do what God? Yeah, I guess so. I guess I better, you know. I don't really want to, but he told me what I need to do, so I guess I better do it. I'll be in trouble with him if I don't. His commands aren't burdensome. If we consider something God tells us to do as a burden, God's not telling us to do it, or we've got the wrong attitude about it. If God leads us to do something, it's not a burden. I still think back to last August, September, when we were looking at starting up the children and youth and all for the new church year, beginning in September. We were looking for teachers and all that sort of thing. And I said, "I'll teach the youth if somebody will teach the adults." And Brother Drew said he'll teach the adults. Well, I don't know if he said he would, but I asked him if he would. And he said he would teach the adults. And so anyway, it came out. And then we got back there with these youth and, 10 or 12 each week. And, the things we're going through with them and just stuff we hear and see every week, it's not a burden. That's an enjoyable evening back there for an hour with those young people. Fortunately, Dylan's back there too, but it's not a burden. It's just a joy each week. I mean, it's a challenge, but it's not a burden because God said, "here's what I want you to do." For everyone born of God overcomes the world. If we're born again, we're overcomers. We overcome the world, things of the world, the trouble. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's our faith in Jesus that allows us to be overcomers. So, chapter 5, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes, has faith, trust, confidence, dependence, and reliance that Jesus is Son of God, because he's our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and he lives in us, giving us victory over troubles of the world because we find peace in a relationship with him. Find that this week. You're going to need it. You may not needed it last week, but you might this week. You may face trouble this week. Something may come at you that, where'd that come from? I didn't expect to see that this week, but there it is. I mean, just dropped right in front of you, and now you got to deal with it, and it's trouble. Find your peace in Christ this week and overcome the trouble through him.